This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News, and I'm Joe Palca, sitting in for Ira Flatow. Today in Washington, D.C., a new science museum opens to the public. Now, Washington already has its share of science museums. The National Museum of Natural History and the National Air and Space Museum are magnets for tourists already. But the directors of the new Marion Koshland Science Museum think they have something new to offer. They've created a space where you have to interact with exhibits in order to figure out what's going on. And as you interact with the exhibits, you begin to learn things, both about the biological and physical worlds, and about the way scientists study those worlds. To start this hour of Science Friday, we'll talk about the new museum and what it has to offer to visitors. So give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And if you want more information about what we'll be talking about this hour, go to our website at www.sciencefriday.com, where you'll find links to our topic. Now let me introduce my guest. Peter Schultz is Exhibits and Public Programs Director at the Marion Koshland Science Museum, which just opened in Washington, D.C. He joins us from the NPR studios. Thanks for taking the time with us today, Dr. Schultz.
My pleasure.
So you've, you've walked a couple blocks because NPR is only a few blocks from the new museum, and today is full of gala opening day celebrations. What's going on over there today?
Wow, it is really exciting. I just came off the floor, and to see the culmination of all of this planning come to fruition in the way that it has is just so wonderful. There's so much energy on the floor right now. I was working with the high school students from Banneker High School here, which is just up the street in Washington, and they're out on the floor doing hands-on science demonstrations. The place is packed with the public experiencing science in new ways, the science behind the headlines. And in fact, the last person I spoke with just before I came up here was a climate scientist, an old colleague of mine, and she's seeing some things that she had never seen before in the information. So it's a wonderful experience for everybody involved.
Okay, walk us through the museum. I'm fortunate. I've seen it. I had a tour earlier this week. But for people who haven't seen it, walk us through the museum. Tell us what it looks like and what you see when you get there.
Well, the first gallery that you come to is called The Wonders of Science, and it is what its title suggests. It's about the amazing, wonderful things that are happening at the frontiers of science. In a 5-minute video, you'll catch some glimpses of the frontiers of science and the way that scientists are pursuing some of the most mind-boggling questions that are out there. And one in particular is, what is the universe made of? And it turns out that 95% of the universe is made of stuff that scientists fundamentally don't really know what it is. They call it dark matter and dark energy. And the video pursues that question. And right next door to that video display are some interactive displays where visitors can begin to pursue that question themselves. And they can see the lights at night viewed from satellites. And using a joystick, they can rotate a flat screen display showing the Earth, and they can see the Earth from any angle. They can zoom in, zoom out, and see all kinds of incredible stories. They can see the collapse of the Soviet Union. They can see the lack of lights in North Korea. They can see the expansion of the suburbs around Atlanta. It's a wonderful tool, and it's the kind of tool that we're trying to develop here at the National Academies, and that is to put visitors in touch with the authentic science so that they can see new things and explore in an open-ended kind of way.
Right. And Academies that you mentioned, that this is the museum of the National Academy of Science, so it's actually got this association with a pretty august scientific body.
Yes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, so I didn't mean to interrupt. You go in past that and you're into the DNA exhibit.
Yeah, and actually that's a good segue into the next set of exhibitions. They're all based on National Academies content, and the next exhibition that you come to is on climate change, and the National Academies has something like 75 reports on this topic in the past 10 years, and that's what we base the content on. And so the title of that exhibition is Global Warming Facts in Our Future, and it's about the science behind the headlines and how the science of climate change can help inform us as individuals and us as a nation, help us make better decisions on this critical issue. And there's some really neat displays. Joe, I know you saw one of them in there. It's a giant plasma screen that slides along a rail, and the plasma screen shows a map of the world. And the map shows temperatures corresponding to whether it was above average temperature or below average temperature at a particular time. And the timeline goes from 1900 to 2000. So as you slide this large plasma screen along this rail, you can see the warming that's occurred, particularly in the last two decades. And that's picked up on another large sliding plasma screen that shows the best available model projections from two of the United States state-of-the-art climate models that show projections out for the next 100 years.
Yeah. And that's actually something, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things that struck me, and I know it struck others, is, you know, this museum's on 6th Street, northwest in Washington, and it's all of about 6 or 10 blocks from the Capitol, where there's a bunch of people who don't exactly necessarily politically agree with the sentiment that the globe is warming and that we're all going to be in trouble unless something happens. This exhibit doesn't really it makes no bones about the fact that the Earth is warming up. Are you worried that you're taking on a little political controversy here?
Actually, one of the reasons why we took on this topic is because it is controversial. And what we're trying to do is present the best available science, the science that can help inform the decisions that we will face. We are an apolitical organization. We take no political stance left or right, but what we do take a stance on is sound science, and it's absolutely imperative that we show the best available science.
Fair enough. Let's open the conversation up to some of our callers. I want to remind people that our number is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. And let's try going to Charlie in Paducah, Kentucky. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you very much. My question is, are there any exhibits that deal with very abstract things like social sciences, things like scientific peace research or anything like that?
Interesting question, Charlie. What about that, Dr. Schultz?
Well, in the climate exhibit, there are some pieces that we call decision support tools. So they're based on social science research and show projections, economic and population projections out into the next century, and show what that means for climate change in the future. There is one other exhibition that we have. It's a really nice one. It's titled Putting DNA to Work, and that's about the application of science. And so really, as you go through the gallery, you begin with basic science in the wonders of science, and then the global warming gallery is sort of the nexus of basic research and applied research. And then putting DNA to work is how has this science come to benefit us in our everyday lives. And you can catch a criminal, and you can discover the genetic basis of the SARS virus and stop that virus dead in its tracks, and learn other incredible applications of genetic sequencing.
Okay, let's hear from Lars in Davis, California. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
What's your question?
Well, more of a comment. I just wanted to strongly commend folks for opening this hands-on museum. I am a trustee on a small hands-on science museum in Davis, California called Explore. The reason we're formed and we've been in existence about 20 years is because the need for hands-on interactive science in classrooms is a huge demand and it's not happening. So I strongly urge the folks at this new museum to get in contact with some of these small regional museums. They have great programs and they help kids from K through about 6th or 7th grade really get involved with science exploration and the science process.
Lars, thanks for that point. I wonder, Peter Schultz, are these exhibits going to be traveling? Is there a chance that a museum in Davis, for example, might be able to get hold of this sometime?
Absolutely. Both of these exhibitions, the Global Warming Facts in Our Future and Putting DNA to Work, will go on the road in about 2 or 3 years. The Wonders of Science Gallery is a permanent infrastructure where we'll tell new stories and update those stories periodically. it turns out that we already have a significant demand for the two traveling exhibitions. So we're excited about bringing these messages not just to our local Washington, D.C. audience, but also around the country.
And the other question is about this hands-on quality to it. My sense is that this is a little bit sophisticated for an elementary school, some of these exhibits. What kind of age are you aiming for here?
Right. That's a very good question. Our target audience is ages 13 and above. And a great combination that we've seen in the test groups that have come through, and actually today when I was out on the floor, are a combination of a parent and a teenager. And what you get with a teenager is someone that's fearless about going in and pulling things and putting their hands on things and pressing buttons and playing the games. And the parent tends to read more of the labels. And so the parent can point things out to the child, and the child can teach the parent, and it's a great interaction, and a lot of questions get raised, and that is a great outcome. If people are asking more questions when they leave than when they come in, we want to stimulate thought about how science applies to our lives.
Okay, let's take another call from Mayor. Did I say that right? Mayor in Bellport, New York?
Fine.
Okay, what's your question?
Well, thank you very much. Since I can't come to your wonderful sounding museum in the near future, I'd like to have you comment on the National Academy's exhibit about global warming. How does it jive with what Mr. Marburger has been saying of playing down the significance of global warming?
Interesting question. Peter Schultz, are you familiar enough with John Marburger, who's the president's science advisor, and some of his comments about global warming to actually tackle that question?
Not his specific comments, but there's an interesting item. In the museum, we feature a report that came out in 2001 at the behest of the president. And it said things like the Earth is warming, and this warming is likely mostly due to human activities. And it's our understanding that the administration embraces those findings from the report. What we don't get involved in is dictating what the political outcome should be. We try to provide the scientific information so that the people who are in a position of decision-making can make the best decisions possible.
Okay. Why don't you we don't have a whole lot of time. Why don't you just finish up by telling us where the museum is and how much it costs to get in?
Right. Well, one way for callers such as the last one to find out more about the museum is by going to our website, which is www.koshlandsciencemuseum.org. And it's a great site. Teachers can learn more about the potential field trips we have there. And because I wasn't involved in that process, Dr. Erica Shugart was the one that was responsible for it. I can say that she did a wonderful job, and it's going to be one of the best science resources. The museum is physically located at 6 and E Streets, right next door to the Building Museum and just down the street from the Spy Museum. So it's a great experience for people who are looking for an off-the-mall activity to do and get a real sense of what Washington is all about and find out about the science behind the headlines.
And $5 gets you in.
$5 gets you in. And $3 for seniors, $3 for kids.
Okay, very good. I'm afraid that's all the time we have. Thank you very much for talking with me, Peter Schultz.
Thank you.
Peter Schultz is Exhibits and Public Programs Director at the Marian Koshland Science Museum in Washington, D.C. When we come back, we'll take a look at the U.S. smallpox vaccination program. So stay with us.